Hello, everyone. Welcome back to this edition of the Cedarville Stories podcast. I'm Mark Weinstein. It's hard to imagine that in about a week, the pinnacle of many Cedarville students will be achieved, and that is the graduation at Cedarville University, including my four guests today. And knowing that graduation is 1 week away, it's fitting that I have four seniors who recently completed or are about to complete the Air Force Reserve Officers Training Corps program at Cedarville, and they are on their way to hopefully becoming pilots for the United States Air Force. Today, I'm talking with Thaddeus Kruger, a fifth-year mechanical engineering student from Beaver Creek, Ohio. Matt Crum, a finance major also from Beaver Creek. They're joined by Brent Whitley, a computer science major from suburban Raleigh, North Carolina, and John Thompson, a mechanical engineering major from Greenwood, Missouri. Welcome, guys. It's great to have you on the program. I have to ask, usually commencement is the highlight of someone's academic career. Are you guys looking forward to graduation in just a few days, or could it be a little sad because you may not see each other going forward?
It's definitely a mix of both. I'm excited, but it'll be bittersweet to leave a place that I really enjoy and have gotten a lot out of and have a lot of fond memories of. I'll miss the people and I'll miss the place, but I'm definitely excited to see what's next.
And kind of speaking off of that, the Air Force is a small world. Even though it is a massive force, we will most likely see each other at some point during our careers. So I'm excited to kind of have that reunion.
Whether it's 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road, you guys can all point back to your 4 years or 5 years at Cedarville and with fond memories and a bond that maybe others don't see. Is that fair to say?
That's accurate.
Yeah, my dad was in the military, served in the Army for 21 years as an officer, and he has some very close friends from his time at West Point. You know, we keep in touch with those people even to this day, years later, and I think it's pretty cool to be here and to see some of these friends and think, you know, hey, 30 years from now, I'll still likely be very close friends with Brent, Thaddeus, Matthew, and many others too. Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about that.
That is cool. I'm glad you just mentioned everyone's name because this is probably a rarity where I have four people on the podcast at the same time. So thanks, John, for bringing in your friends' names so that our listeners can understand who is speaking. What are some of your highlights from your time, your years at Cedarville University? Let me hear from Brent, because I haven't heard from him yet.
So there have been a lot of good times. Met a lot of good people here, some good friends. I'd say one of the biggest highlights from my time at ROTC, though, was I got to go over the summer to the Air Force Academy and complete free fall, which is jump school. So I got to do ground training, and then all five jumps were solo, which is the only program in the world we're able to do that. So it's definitely just a highlight to push myself and do something a lot of fun.
When you say jump school, I mean, does that mean you're jumping out of an airplane?
Yes, sir. So we'd fly up to 5,000 feet and then jump out on your own.
Why would anyone want to do that?
That's what this guy did.
Golly, yeah.
I was definitely asking myself that when they opened the door for the first time. But on the way out, it's a very rewarding experience just doing something you don't know if you could do it or not. But once you get on the ground, it definitely built confidence and really inspired me to keep going. So I think the Air Force is very good about training. It was a very thorough program. We started off with ground school, so just learned kind of the academics, and then they would like hang us from the ceiling and hoist and go through a whole bunch of tests. So it was definitely very intense training, but everyone who made it through ended up jumping safely.
The rest of you, what are some of your highlights from your time at Cedarville?
For me, I have two big highlights. The first one was I met my wife here, wife of about 2 years, and so that was kind of a special time to meet her here and then walk through what a career in the Air Force would look like with a family. And a lot of us are in serious relationships, so it's kind of a cool process to go through. But I would say for me, one of the greatest highlights was as we prepared our applications and went through the process of getting picked up to be pilots in the Air Force, there was a time when the results came in. And as a detachment, we all met together, and we all four of us found out the same within probably 5 minutes that we all became pilot selects. And that was kind of a cool moment where like we all prepped behind the scenes. We were talking about it at Cedarville. Then we all found out at the same time that we got the spot. We were working together on our applications, just tips and tricks for different tests, ways we studied, getting flight hours, just helping each other out and others as much as we could.
We all came into the program pretty goal-focused. I knew I wanted to be a pilot coming in here to Cedarville and starting the ROTC program. I think you all did as well. And so, you know, from the very beginning, we were just you know, doing our best to understand what we needed to do and then doing our best to do the best in each of those areas. And so it really makes some of those times when you hit certain benchmarks, we're like, I made it. Keep going. Yeah. I made it. Keep going.
Yeah.
And each of those benchmarks is just a very, very sweet moment. You know, our time at Cedarville is full of sweet moments, but in the ROTC, those are pretty awesome times.
So for some of our listeners, they may not be really aware of what ROTC stands for or what it is. So can you explain the ROTC program?
Sure. So ROTC stands for Reserve Officers Training Corps, and it is one of three main sources to commission as an officer into the military. The other two routes are OTS, Officer Training School, and then a service academy like the Air Force Academy. So with ROTC specifically, you do your military training in conjunction with your college classes. So most of the time we're doing our classes like a normal student, and then a few times a week we go and do our military training, and then throughout the week we have some preparation for that. So any given week we'll do PT, physical training, on Tuesday morning and then also on Thursday morning. And then we have our main training session called Leadership Laboratory or Lead Lab, and that's for 2 hours in the afternoon on Wednesday. And then there's also a couple of ROTC classes associated with that.
So what's involved in physical training? Because I'm not convinced I'd be able to pass that.
Sure. So, I mean, there's different branches of the military value physical training to different extents, and we certainly encourage it and push people to do well, but we're not as rigorous as I would say like the Army or the Marines. But what we do is we do a lot of body weight type stuff and distance running type stuff, but we also like to mix it up with whoever is in charge of leading PT for the semester can kind of instill their vision for that into the training program.
Specifically for the Air Force, physical fitness has to do with your health, so just being able to do the job, show up consistently, as well as just the appearance that you have. So when someone looks at someone in uniform, they don't know what your job is. You could be an engineer working behind a desk, but when they see you, they see someone who's defending this nation and protecting our freedom. So just having that strong physical appearance is very important. So we still do value like running, staying in shape, doing push-ups, sit-ups, things along those lines.
I mean, kind of similar to a lot of the training aspects of ROTC, just the PT that the program offers alone is not enough to get you to that point to a satisfactory physical fitness level. And so a lot of our PT is focused on morale and focused on, and, you know, inspiring us to go out on our own time and work on ourselves in that regard. So I think it is a pretty cool setup that they have here at ROTC with PT.
Kind of speaking off of what John said, one of the greatest things that we do well in ROTC with PT is setting the foundations for how to work out and how to continue that through your career. Some squadrons will have a more mandatory PT, some is more individual. And so what's really good about this, about PT and ROTC, is they kind of set the foundations as well as show you exactly what to do to stay in shape and stay healthy and to do exercises correctly.
What branches of the military offer ROTC programs at Cedarville?
Right, so Cedarville has Air Force and Army. And actually, both of those programs are technically centered at different universities. So we cross town over to Wright State University for our military training, and that's where our detachment is headquartered. And then for the Army ROTC that's here at Cedarville, they cross town over to Central State.
In the Air Force ROTC program, how many Cedarville students are involved at least this year?
This year, there's about 35 to 40. I would say it's pretty normal size. Yeah. And also, retention is about the same as well. We keep a lot of people. When people show up to Cedarville and they do ROTC through Wright State, and we cross town, usually, generally, Cedarville cadets stay longer than the rest.
One of my highlights was seeing Thaddeus juggle, solve a Rubik's Cube, and ride the unicycle all at the same time. Now, so Thaddeus, are you still doing those kinds of tricks, or have you advanced and you're too serious now to do that kind of thing?
Oh, definitely not too serious for that. I still love pushing myself, having fun with that kind of thing. I mean, the senior design lab for the mechanical engineers, I kind of just put some of my juggling stuff in there and little obstacles that I can balance on just for fun in my free time whenever I get bored
of homework. Constant. He's a menace.
He brings the same energy to ROTC. Yeah. Same
really?
Thing ROTC. Yeah. Same energy. You look over and you just hit a flip and you're like, oh,
this man, it's
what
wild.
We're doing. 5 in the morning, PT. All right.
So that has to be exciting for you guys to see, right? I mean, he's doing the weird stuff, but does that energize you guys?
I'd say there's a little bit of
oh yeah
of weird in all of us.
Cracks me up.
Yeah.
What's the quickest you've solved the Rubik's Cube?
The fastest I've solved a 3x3 Rubik's Cube is 10.0 seconds. The unique thing that I'm able to do is specifically solving a cube while juggling it and riding a unicycle. And to my knowledge, I was the first person in the world to get that.
The last time I talked to you about this is your plan was to, what, add knives or flames? Did you ever do that?
I have not yet, but I'm definitely still wanting to add the flaming torches in for sure.
Yeah, you got to call me. I like to see that when you do that. I noticed that Thaddeus and Matt came from military families. John did too, right? You said earlier that you come from a military family?
Yeah, that's correct.
How about you, Brent?
No, I did not. My granddad was in the Army, but no one in my direct family.
Okay, so I'll direct this question to the three military guys. So coming from a military family, Matt said that the reason why he wanted to get into the Air Force really stemmed from COVID, and it also stemmed from that he thought being in the military was hard to beat. So I want to ask, what from COVID drove you to want to be in the Air Force, and how is the military hard to beat?
Yeah, so really two things. When COVID was happening, I was in high school. It was my senior year, so we're all looking forward to what we should do for careers, what we should do for college, if we should attend college. And one of the biggest things that kind of struck me was job security. And I noticed living close to a military base that they were still going to work and they're still completing the mission that we had set forward. And then I learned more about the mission. I talked to my parents a lot about kind of future and what I could do. I knew I wanted to go to Cedarville, and I knew that a military was potentially down the line. When I was just talking to them, I realized that there's strong job security. The mission is strong. It is a mission that we all believe in and we're passionate about, protecting our country and also protecting the values that we stand for to allow things like Cedarville University to flourish in this country. So when I was looking during all that, during COVID, just kind of had a lot of time to assess and evaluate where I wanted to go. I know that's the same with a lot of these guys. It was a clear path guide, just kind of lined that up.
When you think about your future, Lord willing, future military career, why is that so exciting for you guys to know that that's where you're going to be or that's what you hope to be?
Military has always been a part of my family. I've seen what you can do, the opportunities for not only personal growth, career growth, but also the opportunities to travel and be a part of something bigger than yourself is incredible. And I know these guys can tell you stories all day long, especially Thaddeus and John, about just their families and being able to see and do cool things. I know John lived overseas for quite a few years. Yeah. The military moved him over there. And those are just experiences that aren't normal with most jobs. And something that my wife and I are really excited about is going out and exploring and seeing the world, but also having a steady job and a sturdy paycheck coming in.
Flying the speed of sound is one of the greatest ambitions that you guys have. What thrills you about flying at that speed?
It's a feeling that's hard to describe in words, but being able to not only move that quickly with something that was man-made, but also kind of just to look around and see just the world flying by you as you travel well over 1,000 miles an hour is something that's incredible, something that we're striving to experience in a safe way. And I know, Thaddeus, you can probably speak more on that.
Oh, sure. I mean, I don't know if I'd describe myself as an adrenaline junkie, but I definitely enjoy interesting, unique experiences.
He's an adrenaline junkie.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he is too.
Yeah, we are. We all kind of are, yeah.
Sure. But what more exciting thing can you do than fly in, you know, a multi-million dollar stealth weapons platform at 40,000 feet at the speed of sound? Like, that's pretty incredible. So I'm excited for many aspects of the job, from being in the military in general to being in aviation, and then specifically the types of things that I want to fly. There's a lot that I have to look forward to.
We've all had a little bit of aviation experience too. So we've gotten a little bit of a taste of that. I mean, we're not flying supersonic jets at this point yet, but, you know, we've flown some Cessnas and propeller airplanes around. So we know what the world looks like from a couple thousand feet in the air, and it's just kind of a little bit of a foreshadowing to our future job, and we're pretty excited about that. We log hours kind of on our own time, sometimes through scholarships, but it's in a civilian general aviation context. So we'll go to an airport and we'll rent aircraft and fly under FAA rules. We do that to prepare ourselves in a way, but also to log hours, which actually helps us with our pilot application. We're more likely to get selected the more flight hours we have.
How did you guys get interested in aviation and actually wanting to be a pilot?
So for me, when I was in high school, I did Civil Air Patrol, which is it's an Air Force auxiliary for civilians. But I was able to get some flight experience through that, actually fly solo for the first time. So that was an incredible opportunity. No, I love aviation. I also was able to do search and rescue, so look for missing persons. So we trained as a team. Everyone had different skill sets. A bunch of different agencies would show up. And I knew I loved working with a team to do something challenging, especially when the mission is to potentially save lives. So from there, it was just a natural thing for me to go into the military and do ROTC.
I've done a little bit of just stuff related to planes, but I hadn't actually flown a plane until shortly after I graduated high school. It was actually June 6th on D-Day. My decision to join the Air Force and become an Air Force pilot was separate to my interest in aviation in general. I chose to be an Air Force pilot because I wanted to join the Air Force as an officer because I first wanted to serve military. So it kind of goes back to a time when I was a child and my dad was still in the Army, and I actually hated the military. I did not want to join the military because we were just moving around a lot and I didn't like the lifestyle. So you probably think, this is different. This is a shift, right? But that's kind of how I was. And then we moved to Italy and we moved overseas, and I got to see what a country other than America looks like. And I got to see what life looks like when the principles of freedom and liberty and individualism are not an ingrained part of their culture. And the country is just, it's more dangerous. And I didn't realize how much I took for granted. And I didn't realize how selfish I was for being that, like, I guess, against the military life. And I actually felt terrible about it. Flip side of that, I was super excited to come back to the States. When we moved back, that was a super sweet time. And I, at that point, was like, I'm so glad to be American. Like, that was a very predominant thing I was thinking about. And so,
yeah,
moving forward, I was like, I want to join the military. I don't even know what it was going to be. I was very close to joining the Army, actually, like my dad. But I ended up going to the Air Force and then ended up doing ROTC, ended up wanting to be a pilot. And then here I was. I started flying in preparation for ROTC after I had made all that decision. You know, you guys are talking about just the thrill of flying. I really did kind of bite the aviation bug when I did get flying, and it was not something I could put down pretty easily. So once I got kind of my heart in that, I was just kept going with it, and here we are. So
yeah, it's exciting. I'm going to look forward to watching you guys progress in your career, and I will definitely follow you guys. But John, I want to go back and unpack a little bit the lessons that you learned overseas. Can you tangibly tell us some things that you saw that indicated people who don't live in the United States, they lack the freedom that we have in our country?
You know, our economic situation maybe isn't as great as it has been at times. It's way worse in Italy. So the same kind of stuff that we might be seeing with, you know, that sort of thing is there. There's an apathy towards work. There's a disregard for the law. I don't know if we can really picture that, but if you have a disregard for the law, it's pretty scary thing sometimes. And, you know, there's immigration is out of control. Crime is out of control. It's a dangerous place to be out there. This is not something that maybe most people would feel, but the Christian in Europe would definitely feel a strong sense of spiritual darkness. And it's hard to put a finger on, yeah, but you just feel not where you should be. You know, sometimes you're just in a spot where you're like, I don't really think I should be here. And that's kind of the way it is in those countries. And life is just overall harder. It's harder to earn, you know, your way through life a little bit. It's harder to grow. It's harder to pursue your dreams. You're kind of stuck in a way. So many people that live there have gotten there from countries that are in much worse situations, and they're happy to be in Italy, but they would love to continue their progress towards America, you know, and pursue the American dream, where freedom and opportunity is abundant and free to be had. I can see those people. And I can sit back and be like, well, I have it. I'm an American, and I have that opportunity. I'm going to go back to America, and it's going to be great. Life isn't easy. Life isn't simple, but it is good here. America truly is the greatest country in the world. Anyone who says that America is horrible or trash or down the drain, they need to go to other countries and take a look around them and see where the rest of the world is. America is truly the best country in the world. And I think for that reason, I'm willing to die for our citizens' protection.
As we all are, yeah.
And that's what empowers us as a group to do things that are astronomically dangerous, more dangerous than your average job.
I'm interested in the other three guys. You've heard that before out of John, but how do you respond today to his experiences of living overseas and just how valuable and precious living in the United States of America is?
It's massive to see and to hear stories like John's personal experience, and to just see how good we have it, and even and a Christian standpoint, to hear stories about China, about Russia, and stuff going on with them in the news, and just to see what freedom truly is, and also how much Christianity can flourish in these environments. And that's something that I want to defend, and we're all willing to give our lives for, not only for this country, because we all know we're ambassadors of a greater country, of a greater nation, the one that is something reserved for us when we die, Jesus's nation. But and while we're here, we are going to defend the things that America stands for, because it helps foster that. Yeah, it's absolutely motivating, and it shows us that just this pride that we have to go out and strive for excellence in all that we do.
I do want to justify real quick. I'm not saying that other countries are terrible or anything, and that other cultures are bad or anything. There's a lot of amazing things about the cultures in Italy that we learned about and that have honestly permanently shaped the way we do things. I just think America is a land of opportunity.
How do you envision going forward in the military with your faith in Jesus and being that example?
I mean, it's certainly intimidating to enter into a profession that has a lot of extremes involved. People coming from different rough backgrounds, people experiencing tough things. I look forward to being someone who has hope and who puts my identity in Jesus alone, as opposed to whatever else it may be. Especially in the aviation community, there's a tendency for people to compete a lot and to compare ourselves to each other. Oh, you know, I won that dogfight, or I have more flight hours, or I fly a cooler plane, or whatever else it is. And that's huge. And to an extent, you have to have some competitive attitude, because you are trying to beat the enemy in your own plane and be better. But that's not good enough when it comes to earning salvation. You can't earn salvation. No amount of flight hours you have is going to help with that. And so to be someone going through pilot training and not worrying about putting my identity in that training and in being a pilot, I look forward to being able to shine that light and to be able to explain to people, you know, that's not what my identity is. My identity is in someone else who is better than me and who can do things that I never can.
And even more than what you just said, Thaddeus, there's heavy topics that occur in the military. Killing versus murder is a huge one. People are looking for a reason to be on this world. And like it says in Galatians 5, I mean, we have the fruit of the Spirit is such a light to God, and say, hey, I have a hope beyond my career progression. My God is not my career. My God is something beyond that, and it's so much greater. And for us to have a reason for the hope that is in us and to kind of shine that light is astronomical. And already in ROTC even, there's been opportunities for us to share the gospel with other cadets who don't know that and who are asking those questions of what should I do? What should I believe in? There's more than this. Everybody joins the Air Force wants to be part of something bigger than themselves. Everybody joins the military wants to be part of something bigger than themselves. At least a part of them does. We have the ultimate family that we can tell them about and the reason for why we do what we do.
Yeah, it's fabulous. Very well said. You know, when I think about words that I hear often, that, you know, our country is in trouble, our young generations is a mess, and they don't have work ethic, etc. When I hear you guys talk, and I hear the love that you have for others and the love that you have for each other, and that I know that you guys are going to be representing me as military, I am so highly encouraged. So I want to applaud what you guys are going to do, and I thank you for your service even now. Not everyone can become a pilot in the United States Air Force. It's a challenging, daunting task. Some stats I see here, according to Executive Flyers, 42% of pilots are trained by what you guys have just gone through at Cedarville. Of that number, only 25% are expected to be pilots in the Air Force. So help us understand, what's it going to take for the four of you to become a pilot in the United States Air Force?
There's a pretty rigorous training program from here on out. There's different stages of training. The first major one is called UPT, Undergraduate Pilot Training. And it's pretty much nonstop, just learning everything about the basics of flying, the fundamentals of flying, simulators, academics, book studies, and then actually flying with instructor pilots. The first plane you fly is called the T-6 for most of the training programs. And then from there, you move into different kinds of aircraft, and then branch out into what you're eventually going to be flying. But it's a pretty rigorous selection process. I don't know what the statistic is as far as the number of people who drop out from that training. I don't know. The 25% might be more like the people who were applying for a pilot slot and who got it. I think it may be closer to like 80% of people make it through the training once they have
a pilot
slot.
There's a lot of different metrics that can kind of be confused. And
One of the hardest parts about pilot training is getting selected to go to pilot training. And beyond that, I mean, just the medical side alone, that's kind of where we see, you know, God's provision in our lives. We can't control much of our genetics. Really, we can't control any of our genetics. And so to be able to have things like really good eyesight, to have bodies that are physically capable of handling the stress put on them from aviation, those things we can't control. And so that's through the provision of God. And that's what medical stuff pulls a lot of people out. But yeah, the hardest part about pilot training is getting in there. And once you are in there, it's long days and heavy weights.
Okay. Certainly some people do drop out of pilot training just because they're not able to do it, or they're not meant to be there. So there are a lot of people who wash out of pilot training for sure.
Yeah. I believe it's about 4 out of 5 people in kind of the stage that we're in going into undergraduate pilot training make it through the program. So 1 out of 5 is going to not make it. They're going to decide they want to do something else. They're going to fail a test or something. But
yeah,
the 4 are generally, that seems to be a good number to this day. And that obviously fluctuates a lot, but yeah.
Yeah. So for clarification purposes, Matt, you guys have reached the stage of the most difficult. You guys have been admitted to pilot training school. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. We've all passed the medical requirements. We've all passed all the testing that we need to do to be capable of starting that training. And that's one of the most rigorous parts of getting in.
What's your vision right now for the future for you guys?
Sure. So my experience will be a little bit different. I'm going to helicopter pilot training. We now go straight into that out of ROTC. So I'll have a 10-year commitment after I complete training. And my current plan is just to keep serving the military. But I also have opportunities such as flying for hospital or for law enforcement, things along those lines. But I'll kind of just see at that point, based on my experience, if I want to continue.
Yeah, for me, I don't know if doing a full career is something that I would want to do or not at this point. I mean, that's pretty far down the road. We have a 10-year commitment after the training is over. And then from there, it would be about another 8 years before you can retire from the military rather than just separating. So I'll think more about it. I personally don't see myself as a commercial pilot, but I'm open to different things. And I know a lot of people who do military aviation do end up going to the commercial world.
It's hard to know what we will be doing in 10, 12 years, but
right.
Yeah, I mean, aviation is awesome. I think it's a very lucrative industry to be getting into at this point. At the same time, I think Cedarville does a really good job of preparing their students for jobs out in the workforce. So each of us have undergraduate degrees that can result in some careers after the Air Force if we choose to. So yeah, it really kind of depends on how we feel, I guess, 10 years from now.
Similar to kind of all the guys, especially Thaddeus and John, career in the Air Force is really going to come down to what direction God's calling my wife and I at that point.
Right.
There's a, I don't know if like recent news, but there's a lot of need for pilots on the commercial side, even on just the cargo side, the heavy side. And so it's nice to know that we have that, kind of talking again about job security. We have an opportunity to go get trained by the Air Force, one of the most rigorous training programs in the world for aviation. And then we had that experience. So we can go in and pretty much our resume is already done for. They'll pick us up. So it's nice to know that if 13 years from now, that is something that we decide to go to. But a career in the Air Force is incredibly rewarding.
And I guess for me, I really can't see myself going commercial. I know people who make like $400,000 a year as a commercial pilot. It's a very lucrative industry. But what I think is even more important than that is the ability to fly into a combat zone, pick someone up who's about to die, and then bring them back home to their family. It's just a very unique opportunity to serve rather than focusing on the money.
Yeah. There's no reason to focus on the money because that's just vanity. There's greater purposes in life than just earning money from a job. And so you're well advanced in your years to think that way. Any one of you interested in flying for the Thunderbirds?
That would certainly be awesome.
He's going to do a Rubik's Cube while he's doing it too. He's going to be the first guy to be a Thunderbird pilot doing Rubik's Cube.
Throw some knives in there too. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I went to an air show beginning of last semester, and I was feeling a little bit like nose to the grindstone with all the school stuff going on, kind of lost track of a little bit of what I was looking forward to at the end of after I graduate and commission. But I went to that air show and it was awesome. And I thought, like, the fact that I could potentially be doing that way down the road is just wild. So certainly something that I would think about.
If there's anyone that I know that could do that job, it's going to be you, Thaddeus. And when that day comes, I want you calling me because I want you to take me up.
The F-16 only has one seat, unfortunately, but...
Oh. You can sit on top.
Yeah.
There's a weapons bay.
I'll sit on top. Hey, guys, our time is up. My last question it pertains to your next phase where you're going to pilot training school. Will you guys be doing that in the same location, or where will you guys be studying going forward?
So I'll be in Fort Novosel, Alabama.
I'm actually taking a year to do a recruiting position. And it'll kind of help me, hopefully, down more towards that career with a special duty assignment. And then from there, there's one of three locations that I could be selected to go to after that.
I'm going to Shepherd Air Force Base in Texas.
And I'll be going straight to one of the pilot training bases and just starting pilot training with the Air Force.
Okay, so when are you guys going to reunite next after you graduate?
Nothing yet, but we'll see.
We'll stay in contact.
Party at Brent's house, that's what I heard.
Who's the scheduler? Who's the planner of the four of you?
Matthew.
Take that. Yeah. My wife will Facebook message all these guys and we'll stay in contact. Like I kind of said before, the Air Force is a small world and social media has made one of the good things about social media is the ability to stay in contact. So when these guys have wives, they'll stay in contact and we'll find times to just hang out. And especially if you have a temporary duty assignment where I'm at their base, I'm like, hey, can I crash at your place? And we can have some barbecue or something like that. There's stories, there's all kinds of stories about that in the Air Force. So another culture thing I think we're all excited for.
Hey guys, our time is up. It was a fabulous conversation. I thank you for being Cedarville graduates in a week. And I wish you the very best as you pursue your pilot training. And thank you for serving our country. It's been a pleasure to be with you guys today.
Thank you so much, sir, for having us.
Thank you, sir.
I want to thank you for listening to the Cedarville Stories podcast brought to you by Cedarville University. You are encouraged to share, like, and review this podcast on your favorite podcast provider. And be sure to come back next week when we'll hear another Cedarville story for God's glory.